We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Miami Heat lost to the 76ers. I did that same thing the other day. Miami Heat host the 76ers tonight at the American Airlines Arena. Need help finding the right Dell PCs with Intel Core processors for your business? Man, Falero is just lighting up, I'm sure. Call 877-BUY-DELL. Call 877-BUY-DELL to talk to a Dell small business tech advisor.
Live from the Edmore Sawgrass Chevrolet Studios, Morse has more. Visit EdmoreSawgrass.com. This is Hockman and Crowder on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM, 96.5 FM HD2, and online at WQAM.com.
And now, coming to the microphone, live from Miami, it's Mark Hockman! And last but not least, Jerry Crowder!
Such a strange dynamic when I start to stumble over words. We're at the BB&T Center. Going to give you the code word for $1,000 chance at it here. 1 second. But we're at the BB&T Center. And there's such an interesting dynamic. When I stumble over words, Crowder does what he did on the football field. He immediately drops to the fetal position because he doesn't want to throw me off. He knows I'm rattled now when I'm messing up words. And so he tries to just, he goes into the fetal position.
Stare at the paper.
I'm not even near Falero, but Falero just starts grinning from ear to ear when I mess up verbally. And then he tries to draw attention to himself. Like, hey, look at me, because I want to point at you for screwing up.
Pushes his chair back and makes the
whole dynamic, whole dance. Man, could not get through it there again. I don't know why I keep messing up some of those words.
Yeah, proofread it, man.
I do. I write it. I proofread it. I don't understand what's wrong with me. Luckily, my contract is up in like 20 days, and you won't have to deal with it much longer.
I called him. You good.
No, it's on you. About 22 days from now, you will start doing the updates, and it will just be that high school PA announcer saying, and last and first but not least, Channing.
We're like one of those competitive biking teams. You want your team to do good, but you still want to win, you know?
You're drafting for them up until the end. All right, time for your chance.
Drafting off you for years.
Time for your chance to win $1,000. It's the 560 WQAM Slam Dunk Contest. Your chance to take home $1,000. Text the word train. Hmm. Train. I know what you think of. I think of the band Train.
I think of a steam train.
I am not so certain.
Or a steamy room.
Text the word train to 72881 and you're registered. Text train, T-R-A-I-N. To 72881 right now. If you don't win this time, your next chance will be at the top of the next hour, so about 3 o'clock. This is a national contest. Message and data rates may apply. Please do not text and drive. Again, get in on the winning. Text the word train right now to 72881. 72881. I want to talk real quickly. We have a loaded potato of a Thursday program. I want to talk briefly, and Crowder's the guy to do it with because obviously he is a professional athlete himself, spent a lot of time with professional athletes, and still spends time with professional athletes. Dwayne Wade went to Stoneman Douglas High School yesterday. He surprised the students there. He didn't make a media alert. He didn't come with a media contingent. He went there to make some students who've had an unbelievably difficult run of things for a couple weeks feel good for a moment. It's, for me, one of the reasons why Dwayne Wade is such a local icon. This dude got back from Washington at 1, 2 in the morning and then just took it upon himself to head over to Stoneman Douglas yesterday and make a bunch of kids happy, taking selfies and just making them feel like high school students again. Because remember, they didn't feel like high school students. They got a really tough lesson in being an adult in a heartless world. And so for an hour or so, he allowed them to forget that. But the reason I bring it up is I probably don't talk enough about, and the media probably doesn't talk enough about, how much athletes do with their time and efforts when it comes to charitable work. We all know Christmas time, you're going to get the photo ops of people handing out turkeys.
Yep.
You're going to get the photo ops of people taking someone on a shopping spree at Old Navy.
Have your golf tournament.
Yeah,
you're going to have that normal stuff.
But I don't think people really understand how much time, money, and effort an average, you know, it doesn't have to be Dwayne Wade.
Yeah.
Just an everyday Joe athlete does. And I'm guessing the reason that you guys know it. You know how someone can light up.
And it happens every day. It still happens with me, and I'm retired.
That's what I'm saying. Like, they light up.
People don't care about your philanthropy when you can run fast.
That's true.
And that's what it is. The stuff I've done for athletes, that my teammates going out, the things I've seen, the families, the kids, the grandparents I've seen cry. You've seen it at the Boys and Girls Club.
Yep.
It's not covered because it's not fun. It's not. It's good for the community, but it's not fun to talk about. Oh, he helped some families. Why didn't he help me?
It's
a weird. I'm glad you brought it up because it's something that gets to me. I think you know it. People don't care about that. People really do not. They genuinely do not care about athletes and philanthropy.
And it's one of the things. And again, we probably don't do a good enough job talking about it. Again, there are things where athletes want the media involved, and sometimes they'll use it not just for their own glory, but they use it because it actually helps the cause.
Yeah.
We do a lot of stuff. You do a lot of stuff for the Boys and Girls Clubs in Broward County, but you utilize the power of the radio station and the power of media in order to facilitate the cause. Dwayne Wade was doing something to his heart yesterday, and it needs to be applauded and it needs to be pointed out. And I think it's one of the reasons that Dwayne Wade's an icon. But I'm imagining that you saw during your playing days with the Dolphins countless athletes that would take a day off when you get a rare day off, mm-hmm. that would take their day off and spend it at a hospital, at a shelter, doing something for someone other than them, while it may have been a lot more, I don't know, easier to sit on the couch and watch TV on a day off.
Yeah.
And I think it's something that needs to be applauded and pointed out.
Well, it's one thing you do when you're blessed or when you're lucky, whatever you want to say. You know, I don't know what you say. I thank God, you know, I'm blessed. God, you know, gave me the opportunity, the body, the speed, the strength to be in the NFL and make money. But when you have, when you're giving that opportunity, a lot of people want to give back. And it's inside of you. Some athletes give back a lot. Jason Taylor does amazing amounts of work that don't make it on Twitter.
Right.
That don't make it on that.
He's got some marquee events that do.
Yes, but the other things he does, the schools he talks
to. It's year-round.
I tell people that Joey Porter's daughter is mentally ill, mentally – what's she have? She's extremely – you know, something's wrong upstairs. And the school system didn't have a place for her to go in Bakersfield, California. So Joey Porter built a school for – his daughter, autistic children, anybody with a mental disability in Bakersfield, that kids come from hundreds of miles around to attend. Their parents will rent apartments in Bakersfield, California, so they can go to the school that Joey Porter built. Do you think anybody looks at Joey Porter as this great person that's helping out a number of mentally disabled people?
No, he's a crazy animal on the field.
He's a lunatic.
Yeah.
And it's just, I see that over and over. If I started writing down stuff, I've done Vonnie Holiday, Kevin Carter, guys I play with that do great, does great stuff. It goes on the back burner because when you look out on the field, do you look to see guys that run fast and can catch balls and win games?
Well,
or do you look and say, which guy out here, where's the all-pro philanthropy team?
Listen, again, I'm not bringing it up to say you shouldn't criticize athletes or you should watch sports in a different way, because that's not what I'm suggesting. I'm just saying that athletes, while we criticize on the air or we celebrate on the air, we often look at them as one-dimensional. And I think Dwayne Wade has been talked about in this city, you know, for 2 years, ever since he left for Chicago. And then he leaves, and there's the segment that hates him, and he's a traitor. And then he goes to Cleveland, and he's a double traitor. And then he comes back, and some people are willing to welcome him back with open arms. And Dwayne Wade, to me, is one of those guys where he knows he's there for something greater than on the court. I think he's verbalized that pretty well lately. I think LeBron, the same way, they verbalized pretty well, hey, we're here beyond the court. I'm not saying that you should watch sports and think about someone's philanthropic efforts. Like, that's not my point. My point is, though, that you do have to remember athletes, they're multidimensional beings, and Dwayne Wade did something yesterday that I think needs to be applauded. But as I was thinking about it, I was kind of thinking of the way that you spend a lot of your time helping others, and like you say, you haven't played in years, and there are guys who play now who their weeks are filled, and there's one day off, and they're spending that day visiting some sick kids in a hospital or taking someone shopping. And it's just worth pointing out, I think, because athletes oftentimes, and obviously with the kneeling during the national anthem, a lot of people pointed at athletes, especially the ones that were kneeling, as divisive people. These people don't appreciate what they have. They don't appreciate what this country can give them. And I really do look at Kenny Stills, who's one of the guys that kneels, and I know how much work he does in the community. And I know that anyone listening that has criticized Kenny Stills as being un-American or unpatriotic probably doesn't do a tenth of what he does for the community. And so I just say, take a step back and look at everybody as three-dimensional beings.
But to that point, you're not helping me. Because like you said, people looking at Kaepernick and the anthem protest, which I'll say I've heard a number of times, is nothing about the military or disrespect of America. It's about social injustice. So those young black kids in the inner city that are being treated different by police, they appreciate it.
Right.
Because they're directly affected by it. Somebody that has never felt social injustice, they don't know what they're arguing about. I've heard that a number of times. What are you speaking of? The cops treat me great.
Absolutely.
They don't understand what's going on. It's like, you know what? When you were talking, I thought of like Kelly. Who was it? Kelly Oubre, Kevin Love, those guys that came out with depression, anxiety.
Yes. Yes.
The people that go through depression and anxiety, they love that.
They can't believe that someone's verbalizing on a big stage what they're going through. Someone who's never been through that.
Hey man, you're a millionaire.
Tighten up.
That's what they say. Yeah. So to that point, people that, and I'll retract something I said earlier, people that care about philanthropy and care about others and care about giving back, they do appreciate athletes that give back because now you're a part of what I believe in. The person that every Saturday wakes up, sits back, drinks beer on their couch, and never goes out and reaches their hand out for somebody with less than them, they're going to look at that as, oh, yeah, rich dude wasting up his money. People that are attached to it care. People that don't, they just let it go.
And by the way, when I say that you have to look at people as three-dimensional, I'm also not suggesting the opposite, which is if someone gives of their time and they're charitable, that makes them a great person. It doesn't make that either. I'm just saying, here's a guy, Dwayne Wade, who, you know, we talk about hero ball and what he does on the court and how many opportunities he had in that Washington game to win the game, and I think he should have had more, and you think someone else should have the ball, whatever. And we talk about them as basketball players, and that's fine. That's what we do. We're a sports station. But also, when someone does something out of the ordinary and does it without any desire for attention, and it really does help a community, a group of kids start this healing process of feeling like teenagers again, I think it deserves to be applauded. And it doesn't mean that you should never boo Dwayne Wade again. If you think he's deserving of a boo, yeah. I don't see how. But if you think he's deserving of a boo out on the hardwood, but I wanted to bring it up because I know just from being around you and from the stories you've told me, a lot of athletes are really unbelievably giving of their time and their money and appreciative, like you say, of the gifts that they have, and they want to give some of that back to those that just watch them and live vicariously through them.
And so, the players that do, and it's fun, either way is great, and anybody that gives is great. Jason Taylor does a lot, like I said. I know a bunch of guys. But the Dwayne Wade thing, like you're saying, when it's him going genuinely, and I don't want to say when the guys get sponsors and they make a big, you know, they do their big circuses and have the kids out there for free and all. That's great, too. But it seemed like to me, and this is where it hits me, when it seemed like Dwayne Wade got back from Washington and in his heart said, I need to go over there to Stoneman Douglas and just talk to him.
Yep.
Just say, hey, are you bringing basketballs to sign? Are you bringing jerseys? No. I'm just going to talk to him.
I'm just going to be there if they want to take selfies, if they want to, like, whatever it's going to be. I know that I'm going to go there. It's going to be a big deal for these kids. I think he came in the lunchroom, the cafeteria, when they're all eating. Like, yeah. it was just a guy who's a part of our community saying, you know what, I could do some good today, and I'm going to go do it.
Jason Taylor had his charity weekend. I golfed on Monday, went to his dinner on Sunday's auction dinner, and Saturday had a poker tournament. And on Sunday, he was talking about Friday, they did something, his charity, with Stoneman Douglas. And his whole thing was every kid there, he just took aside for 2 minutes and just talked to him. Not, he said some of it was about the terror, but some of it was about life. Some guys were at football players wanted to talk to him about pass rush moves. Just talking to him. I'm talking to Jason Taylor, Hall of Fame Jason Taylor, and he said literally it was 2-3 minutes. He'd give each of them 2-3 minutes, and he took that out of his time. Didn't cost money. Took 3 minutes of his day. You don't know what it did for that kid.
Totally could change someone's life.
That's what gets to me when people say stuff like that. And what Dwayne Wade did, that means, I don't say more, but that is awesome in my mind. I need to go do something for these kids that are 30 miles away from me and they're hurting.
Somebody texts in, great first segment, guys. Much support from us on this topic. But that code word, bruv, we trying to get our 401k up. I gave it to you. It's train. Text the word train to 72881. I can't be mad at you if you're trying to get your 401k up.
Give back if you win it.
Yeah, there you go. What are they? Tithe is what?
10%?
10%. 10%. All right. So you give $100 to something good.
There's some guys, worthwhile. NFL players, that give 10%. I was amazed by that.
Do you think that, hey, tithing is good?
Don't call out my religion, please, or my beliefs. I just, if you make it $10 million.
You say throttle it back. You don't have to do the 10% if you're at $10
million. I'm just, yeah, you know, $100,000. Once you hit six figures, I think you've helped out some people.
Text the word train to 72881 if you didn't hear the code word earlier. We have a loaded potato coming to you from the BB&T Center today. Panthers hockey tonight. Panthers could use another couple points. They're 2 points behind Columbus. Montreal tonight here at the BB&T Center. Dave Hyde is going to join us in the next segment. We've got a loaded potato, like I said. Omar Kelly's going to join us today. Joe Zagacki's up in Brooklyn in the bad weather, but they've got the ACC tournament. Miami plays tonight. Randy Moeller will stop by. Steve Goldstein will stop by. We've got the loaded potato. But I want to talk to you about Cheetah before we get to Dave Hyde, columnist for the Sun Sentinel. I love this time of year. I love the Cheetah. I tithe at the Cheetah.
I don't think it works like
that. That's my religion. I tell my wife, I have to spend at least 10%.
Before or after Texas.
Guys, are you feeling lucky? Come find your lucky charm at any Cheetah Gentlemen's Clubs for the St. Patrick's Day Bash Wednesday the 14th, so a week from yesterday. Enjoy the company of hundreds of exotic and beautiful fantasy girls, a lavish buffet from 11:30 till 4, drink specials, and much more. St. Patty's Day is your lucky day at all the Cheetah Gentlemen's Clubs. Mark it on your calendar. You know by now you can receive free drinks, special offers, and info on upcoming events just by texting the word Cheetah and the number 1 to 72727. Never miss the action by liking Cheetah on Facebook and Instagram. And make sure you make Cheetah Gentlemen's Clubs your free lunch hotspot. They've got a free gourmet lunch menu daily, 11:30 till 3. They've got happy hour until 6 and so much more. And have you been to Cheetah Hallandale Beach's state-of-the-art 14,000 square foot entertainment complex? It is amazing, including their separate sports lounge with 10 60-inch HD TVs, 6 giant projectors, perfect place to watch any big sporting event, including all the college hoops this month. And have you checked out Cheetah's new website yet? The view is nice. Get info on all the clubs and info on everything I've been telling you about, including the St. Paddy's Day party on the 14th. You can get it all at CheetahSOFL.com.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
We're at the BB&T Center. Panthers hockey tonight. Panthers, Canadiens. Panthers, couple points back of Columbus for that final wild card spot.
Be wild tonight, shouldn't it?
I think so. Now the Canadiens always draw a big crowd. All the Canadian teams do, but hopefully with seven out of the last seven games, the Panthers have gotten points. They lost on Tuesday night in Tampa, but you know was a tie. It went to overtime, so they got a point. So they're playing unbelievably good hockey. Anyway, we're gonna head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline, talk with Dave Hyde, columnist for the Sun Sentinel. Are the Panthers on your radar, Dave?
They are tonight, as I'll be out there for the game. Yeah, they've worked their way on there because, you know, let's face it, they're winning. So, and I was looking up, there's always a site for everything now, and now the hockey playoff probable site puts them at 70% to make the playoffs because, they're in ninth place, but they have three games. They have three fewer games than Columbus, so it looks like the Heat and the Panthers should both make the playoffs right now.
Well, I started out yesterday's show by saying this is a really fun time of year, right? Because every Heat game has implications. I mean, they're good mount ahead in the eighth seed, but every game they play, I think, has implications. The Panthers, certainly, every game they play is a playoff game. And the Hurricanes, who've got the ACC tournament tonight, not that it really even matters what they do in the ACC tournament, but you got the big tournament next week. Like, everything matters for the three sports right now.
Yeah, and for the Hurricanes, seeding matters. And, you know, if they have a run in this tournament, that will boost their seed. So, it's almost like, there should be a game every night, but it seems like what was Tuesday, there were two games. Thursday, there's three games. I mean, it's a good time to be either going to games or flicking channels.
Yeah, I have this weird thing. I was saying it on the air. Why don't the leagues get together? I got to sit through Tuesday night and flip between everything going on at once. Tonight, like you say, there's three games. That there was nothing last night. There was nothing Monday night. They gotta organize this better, Dave.
I think the schedule makers just need to have a weekend retreat together. You know, go to somewhere in West Virginia where no one's going to know where they're there and plan it all. I'm with you. Selfishly, I want a game every night. So, my boring life, I can sit there and watch games on TV.
Hey, Dave, out of those three we just talked about, the Canes, the Panthers, and the Heat, who do you think has the better chance of going deeper into the postseason?
You know, of the three, I would say the Panthers do in a weird sense. Look, if the Heat draw any of the top three teams in the East, that would be a feat for them to make the second round. And the Hurricanes have been so up and down, although they're playing better lately. But yeah, you know, hockey is so random, it seems like. And the Panthers are playing well right now. So you do see low seeds in hockey make runs into the spring. So I guess I'm not expecting any of them to be honest with you, but if any of them do make a run, I think it'd be the Panthers.
I kind of feel like the Miami Hurricanes have a little something special. They're best, even without Bruce Brown, something happened at the end of the season where they really gelled.
Yeah, I went to a game, was it, I'm drawing a blank, a Saturday afternoon game.
The Boston College game?
Boston College, and they've been so up and down, but of late they're playing well. You're right. The last, four or five games, they've played very well.
Dave Hyde is with us. He's a columnist for the Sun Sentinel. I really had you on today. There's a lot of sports going on. But you wrote a column about Stephen Ross in the Sun Sentinel when all the hoo-ha was swirling about him. We actually read it on the air because I think you came out with it like that night. I think his comments were on a Monday, and then he kind of walked him back on a Tuesday, if I'm remembering correctly. And then it was also printed in yesterday's Sun Sentinel print version, which I happened to get at home. I get the Wednesday and the Sunday paper, Dave.
I should deliver coffee to you, once a week with your paper.
I mean, it's so nice to see your smiling face right there on the front of the sports page. But the title is, Can We Listen to Stephen Ross Like Grown-Ups? And again, he has walked back his statement that players will stand next season. But what did you make of his original statements, what the retraction was, And you make a point, which I thought was right on in your column, which is essentially it's not really anything different than what Stephen Ross was saying by the end of last season, was it?
No. You know, about mid-season, once, you know, Donald Trump changed the conversation into a patriotism issue, smartly on his part, I guess, that, you know, the whole idea of kneeling changed from, okay, I'll give my dad as an example. My dad's very conservative, very right-wing, and he said, I'm not watching NFL games anymore. And I said, why not? He goes, well, because... you know, they're kneeling. They're kneeling, and that's a slap at the flag. And I said, well, they've been kneeling for a year and a half now. And you know, they're kneeling for socials. He goes, I don't even know why they're kneeling. And when I heard that, I said, I've written probably five columns on kneeling, why they're kneeling, who they're supporting. I thought, there's no hope then, because that segment of the population will don't even want to hear why they're kneeling. They just think it as a slap at the flag. So about mid-season when that happened, Steve Ross and the Dolphins had conversation with people in the Dolphins. They said it's a an ineffective protest. And I agreed with him. It changed. So that was really Steve Ross's thinking. And it was known and had been written about before. Now, anybody who's talked to Steve Ross, he's, you know, for as rich and as powerful and you know, I really think a good-hearted person, at sometimes he gets into nuanced conversations and he doesn't complete the full thought. And I think what I know what happened there, because I saw it and I thought, oh, okay. I emailed him and I said, is this right? And I got a message from the Dolphins of the statement saying, look, he's saying, and again, if you've interviewed him, if you talk to him, he needs to do a better job at times of completing thoughts. And what he was saying is no one's going to be kneeling next year. But that's different than saying I'm ordering everybody to stand next year. Okay, you have to understand there's a nuance there. He's talked to the players. He knows that the three players, okay, I think only, well, Michael Thomas will be back in, I assume, and Kenny Stills.
Back. Yeah.
But I assume he talked to them and they thought it run its course and whatever. He had said the players will be standing. But again, that's different than saying I'm ordering everybody to stand. Okay, you have to understand that nuance. As a reporter, you have to ask the question, are you ordering everybody to stand then? And that question really wasn't asked of Ross, and he didn't say everybody's going to stand. But I'm not, you know, I think it's an ineffective protest, but they can kneel if they want. You know, that's up to them. Okay,
yeah, it's not his greatest strong suit, like you say. He's a brilliant businessman, like you say. I think he's been a great owner for the Dolphins. His ability to explain his position on things is not his strong suit.
Right. That's good, and it's kind of surprising where he is, I guess. You know, I would say this: John Henry, another guy you talk to, brilliant man, obviously. Yet when you talk to him, it's sort of the same thing, where you like you have to make sure you ask everything, because there's room for misunderstanding, as I think there was in that article. Really, he was quoted perfectly. You know, there's no question that he said all that stuff. But the question had to be asked. Okay, everybody's standing. Steve Ross, it thinks it's an ineffective protest. Are you ordering the players to stand? No, he never. That's if you know him, if you've talked to him, that's not what he does. It's not, quote, what he stands for. So that's really, really, they had to come out with a statement explaining the full position on that.
Did you order the code red, Stephen Ross? Dave Hyde is with us, columnist for the Sun Sentinel. And then you write in the column, the other thing that he said that caused a lot of controversy, and you talk about being on such opposite sides of the importance spectrum, but the other thing that got a lot of people all up in arms was that he said Miami's not a great sports town. And you seem to agree with him in the column, yes?
Yeah, I mean, everybody gets so riled up. We have to be the greatest at everything. Well, you know what? We're not a great sports town, okay? I mean, my thought always has been, and I put it in the column, if you like going to every major event, if you like to be able to buy tickets at the last second relatively cheap, don't need you're not going to run into a lot of traffic. And again, you see every sport imaginable. This is your set. This is your town. It's a great fans town, but you know, and in part, I put it on the teams. Absolutely, they haven't been good this generation of sports, other than the Heat. The Heat, fundamentally bad run here. But even before that, we haven't been a Boston or Chicago or New York or that type of a sports town. We're a big event town, and I think most people understand that.
And Dave, that what gets to me about that conversation is good and bad, because if you look at like attendance numbers, Heat's number 6 in the NBA. There's just the Dolphins were number 16, I think, this year. It was just where you look at those numbers and it doesn't prove that it's not a good sports town. When you say good, bad, and great, how do you judge that?
I walk into a bar. It sounds like a joke. I walk into a bar, not a sports bar, but you walk into a bar or a tavern and there's a TV on. I would say 80% of the time, even when like the Panthers or the Marlins are playing, that TV is not tuned to the game. Okay. And that's how I judge that. You know, it's a grassroots thing. It's a feel. When I go into other towns and the Red Sox are playing in Boston, it is a passion, you know, and we're not at that level of passion for local teams that they are there. It's simple as that. That doesn't mean we're an awful town or ever anything like that. I think everybody takes it so personally. Like, we have to live, you know, we're great people and we have to live in a great sports town. Oh, it's a great place to live. You know, I've made my life here. I obviously like it. I love my job. But let's not pretend the passion for sports night after night, day after day, is the same as it is in other towns.
Well, I think Crowder said it best, though, a couple of days ago. It's different down here. I grew up in Chicago, and my wife grew up in Philadelphia. I know what really passionate, great sports towns are, but this is just different. I hesitate to refer to Miami as a bad sports town. It's a different sports town. I don't know why we take such an immense amount of pride or umbrage at the characterization, but we do. But it is different. I don't know if it's bad. It's different.
It's more like a Los Angeles, a town where, look, you'll go to the hockey game tonight, and how many Canadian fans are going to be there? Now, I get it. The Panthers haven't won a playoff series since 1996, so there's room for people to fill up the arena. I get that. But you could go down the list of games around here and realize there's going to be a significant number of fans who live here and root for the other team. And that doesn't go on in what I classify as, quote, great sports towns.
Yeah, that's probably a fair characterization. But when you have a winning team,
yes,
you get a whole hell of a lot of South Florida fans. And I always make the point, it's like me when I say I'm a Sylvester Stallone fan. But that doesn't mean I'm going to go see his crappy movies. Like, you got to put a good vehicle out there for me to go spend my money on. Same thing happens with sports. Doesn't make me less of a fan, but if you're not going to win, why should I spend my money on you?
I'm with you completely, and to me that's a smart fan base, because why would I want to go out, and, you know, and God bless all the Marlins season ticket holders or Panthers season ticket holders, because those are the hardest core fans. You're never going to lose those at this point, because, again, neither of them have had success this generation. And so, but I'm with you. To me, it's a smart fan base. Maybe I should phrase it that way. We're not a great sports town, but we're not going to go out and watch crappy products or mediocre products. So I'm with you on that. And you know what? I would have thought, and it hadn't worked out that way, that would work to the benefit of the team's success. That, oh, we know we have to do something well. We have to put a good product on the field.
Yeah, that doesn't seem to – the two aren't corollary, apparently.
To that point, a fan base that they would say they are a good sports town, they're there through the good and the bad. We just come for the good.
Yeah.
That could be considered a bad sports town now that we're trying to – we're really breaking it down.
A fickle sports town.
Yeah, we're fickle. Oh, although, you know what? Again, this goes against what I'm saying of being a great sport. But you go – any team that hasn't won like the Marlins haven't won since 2003, any team going through that long of a run where they've been – and the stuff that goes on with them in the last 15 years – isn't going to draw well, right? And any team like the Panthers that hasn't won a playoff series in 20 years, you put them in any city, really, they aren't going to draw well. So, you know, that goes sort of against what I'm saying, that we're a great sports town. But they really, trust me, just from the readership numbers, we can see when teams start winning, people start reading. That's why when everybody says, oh, you write negative stories because that sells papers. No, it doesn't sell papers. What sells papers is the Marlins going to the World Series, the Panthers going to the Stanley Cup in 96, the Dolphins making the playoffs. That's what sells papers.
Friend of the program, Dr. Chuck Metzger, is disagreeing with that via my personal text machine, saying that you need to write better columns.
Well, that's probably true.
Dave Hyde, columnist for the Sun Sentinel. Read his work at sunsentinel.com. Follow him on Twitter as well. Thank you for making time for us, Dave.
All right, guys. See you.
Dave Hyde there. I think one of the things that people will see when it comes to being a great sports town is if Miami starts to make a run through the tournament, this place goes bananas.
I remember.
You saw it, right? You've seen it.
Shane Larkin and them?
Yes, yeah. You've seen it before. College basketball in March, there's not much better. And it's even better when your team is good. Miami's good. They play tonight. Miami's good, though, but it's the conference tournament tonight. The big tournament is next week. There's something about the feeling of basketball in March, college basketball in March. You could set up the game-winning assist this month, grab a 12-pack of 5-hour energy, get that feeling of energy and focus to watch all tournament long. You're going to need it because once you're in the 5-hour energy brackets, you're going to have the most fun you've ever had watching the tournament. Here's what you need to do. I've been telling you every day, but now it's crunch time. Now you got to get your bracket all set up. Register for the 5-hour energy brackets. Only 5-hour energy real-time brackets lets you take control of your picks in real time during every live game. Get into it and you're never out of it. Smart picks equal more points. Winning picks made pre-tournament gives you the most points. Switched picks that you actually switch during a game because the game's not going your way, give you the fewest points. And also original picks and switch picks are tracked on two separate leaderboards so you can compete and brag twice as hard. With the 5-hour energy brackets, no more busted brackets. This is the greatest twist on brackets that's ever been invented. Go to 5hourenergybrackets.com and register right now. This will honestly make the tournament more fun than it's ever been. Or you can go to our radio station website, WQAM.com, and register right there. With the 5-hour energy brackets, you get real-time score alerts. You get push notifications for close scores, halftime scores, and when one of your picks is losing, so there's no chance you'll miss a potential switch. But again, tournament starts next week. You've got the selections this Sunday. So register now so you are all set to go. 5-hour energy brackets. It's a game changer for the tournament. Go sign up right now. 5hourenergybrackets.com. 5-hour energy. Get back to 100%.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
We're at the BB&T Center, Panthers hockey tonight. Omar Kelly is going to join us in about 10 minutes, talk some Dolphins football. Channing Crowder, he is playing hurt today. Look at you, man.
Come to work.
He's got a stomach ailment. We knew yesterday in the studio, just based on the number of times he ran down the stairs during commercial breaks to get to the latrine, if I can use that term. And he didn't know if he was going to make it in today. You've got some stomach issues.
Yeah, man. I had to chug a gallon of Pedialyte. Doc told me you gotta get it through your body, man. Whatever's in there causing the trouble, you got to get it out of you. And Pedialyte was the answer.
Does anybody want to know what's causing the problem? Because I know, and when you hear it's comical. It's comical. So you just stopped, I'm guessing, before the show yesterday?
Yes.
Some random Asian place or a place that you go?
Oh, random. I've been one time before on university somewhere.
And you walk in, and they have a thing called special wonton soup.
Because it has the wontons, and it has chicken, and it has beef, and it has shrimp, and it has, like, leeks. And it has all kind of great. Well, not great now. It seemed great at the time, and it whooped me.
Because we know wonton soup, you're already risking it. And then you get the special wonton soup. Because I didn't know
wonton soup was a risk.
Well, listen, anytime, and I've maintained this, you know I'm a food court connoisseur.
Yes.
A lot of times at the Asian places, the food is delicious. Mm-hmm. I love good Asian food.
Oh, the soup was great.
But don't look inside, because you don't know. Sometimes there's beaks, talons. So you have to eat the whole thing. Once.
I shoveled the wonton. I didn't bite it.
Yeah, but the problem is you got the special wonton soup. You see, they don't offer that to just anyone. They don't offer that to the regulars. You
they
see what I'm saying?
They saw the dummy coming in.
They saw you coming in. You sit down at the poker table. If you can't spot the mark, you're the mark.
We can get rid of that soup. Bring it.
Hey, where's that special wonton soup no one bought for the last couple of weeks?
Well, they got me.
You're paying for it.
I must have lost 10 pounds.
I'm not kidding you. Yesterday was downstairs to the bathroom every commercial break and then texted this morning. He's like, I don't know if I'm going to make it. I ain't going to make it.
And we had to go get some triple ply. And my wife said, you need Gatorade? I said, no, I need some tissue. We need to get this stock back up.
Well, he's toughing it out today. Omar Kelly's going to join us next. We've got your next code word, too, for your chance at winning $1,000. We'll do all that when we come back.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.